Socialism is on the rise in America. Does it work? And perhaps more importantly, is socialism even biblical? On this program, we take a closer look.
Socialism means we unite as one people and we decide on what we want to do.
I am upset with the direction that America is going because I came from the place where it didn't work, where America is trying to go now.
It's one thing for you to give out of compassion for someone who's less fortunate. It's an entirely different thing for the government to confiscate your property and give it to someone else.
Basically, we're robbing the productive people in our economy today to give money to people who are unproductive.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents The Problem of Socialism, a revealing look at how the threat of ever-growing government endangers America.
For decades, the word socialism has been a dirty word in American politics, and rightly so. In the past, successfully identifying a program or idea with socialism would effectively kill it. But in recent years, that's all changed. Though it might have been unthinkable just 10 or 20 years ago, acceptance of socialism is on the rise in America.
Socialism, noun, any of the various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods.
We must create an economy that works for all, not just the very wealthy.
Socialism is taking care of each other. That's the way I see it. We have to take care of each other. We haven't done that in a long time in this country.
Socialism is, in my definition, I would say, people having what they need. People being able to live with dignity, knowing that they have what they need.
But the tragedy is that you see these college students massing to his rallies and championing his ideas.
Greed is destroying our nation.
You wonder how these college students would respond if you went to them and said, you're an A student, but, you know, there's an F student in your class, and so we're going to give you a C and give them a C. How do you like that? I don't think they would.
Socialism doesn't work.
Natasha Serdoch grew up under socialism in Yugoslavia. She is now an American by choice.
People need to know that it has been tried. It's a wonderful idea, but it doesn't work. In the end, actually, socialism runs out of the money because it promises free education, free health care, free everything.
A free college would be a great start. Four-year universities should be free.
But somebody has to pay for it, and it cannot generate that kind of a growth that you can accumulate that kind of tax revenue that you can pay for everything and have economic growth. It doesn't work.
Socialism just says everyone's the same. Well, as you look at your neighborhood, you know everyone is not the same.
Socialism has kind of proved itself to be bankrupt, but it's not dying out in the intellectual world.
We need to be concerned about the ways in which socialist thinking is creeping into the general public and also into the churches.
There is a concern that socialism and the philosophy behind it is extending its tentacles into American life.
I believe in many of our government policies, unwittingly, the average American is allowing himself to be led by groups that have left leanings toward a manifestation of socialism.
Socialism is the government running the economy, the government guiding or owning resources in the economy, not people in the private markets. And government socialism manifestly does not work. If it did, the Soviet Union would have won the Cold War.
But the overall goal of all socialism gets back to one thing: government control of private property. For example, Karl Marx wrote, "The theory of the communist may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property." And what happens when people are forced against their will to provide for the common pot in a collective scheme?
What you wind up with is forced collectivism. The collectivism can never be done voluntarily on a mass level. In the 20th century, more people died at the hands of their own atheist, socialist, Marxist governments than died in all the wars in all the history of mankind. We're talking millions of people were murdered by their own government simply because they would not accept the idea that all of everything that they produced should be surrendered to the state.
Yet socialism is taught in our schools at virtually every level, especially in the universities. Joshua Muravchik has written a definitive book on the history of the movement, Heaven on Earth, The Rise and Fall of Socialism.
If you go to universities, any place in the world, including very much in the United States of America, which is not a very leftist country on the whole, but you'll find loads of professors. Some will call themselves Marxists, and others who will stop short of calling themselves Marxists, but will say Marx had wonderful insights that help us to interpret the world.
Now we've got, 21-year-old conservative evangelical Christians in Christian colleges that are thinking more or less like socialists. Now, they're not secularists, but when it comes to basic economic understanding, their basic understanding of what economics is like, they think not only is it correct, they think that, in fact, the Christian worldview implies or requires socialism.
The founders had a vision for creating a United States of America, these United States of America. States created the federal government. The whole idea was to have it be limited, the national government be limited, and have many checks and balances. And their whole goal was to keep from amassing large centralized federal power. And to our detriment, many people today have forgotten the lessons of our founding fathers, who created a unique nation among all nations in the world.
As we've seen, socialistic programs have proliferated in recent years, and there's a growing acceptance of socialism, even by that name, among younger generations in America. But there's a more important, more fundamental issue at stake than socialism's mere popularity. Is socialism a good economic system based on reality as God made it? Or to put it another way, does the Bible teach socialism?
One of the great clashes in the modern world is between two mutually exclusive systems, socialism and free enterprise, sometimes called capitalism. Advocates of socialism claim that it is the most effective and compassionate system for taking care of people, even that it embodies the core principles of Christianity.
Cristo era comunista. Más incluso que socialista.
So frankly, socialism has the best branding, and it appeals to quite legitimate moral intuitions that Christians have.
By contrast, the free enterprise system is portrayed as cold and greed-driven, carelessly leaving disadvantaged people in its wake. But is this true? What does the Bible really say about it?
I don't believe that the Bible teaches socialism. I think that that is a mental construct that folks have tried to superimpose on the Bible.
The Bible teaches private property. The Bible teaches that we are to care for our neighbor.
When Richard Land was earning his doctorate at Oxford University in England back in the 1970s, he had a very interesting visit that gets to the root of this question of the Bible and economics.
A young man showed up and wanted to enroll us in the Socialist Club. And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, I understand you're a Christian, you're a Baptist minister. And I said, well, yes, I am. He said, well, if you're a Christian, you have to be a socialist. And I said, that's one of the more extraordinary statements I've heard. I said, it seems to me that if you're a consistent Christian, you can't be a socialist. And he looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate. And I proceeded to explain to him that socialism won't work because socialism is based upon the assumption that man is basically neutral or good.
We are fallen beings and corrupt beings, and therefore you can't redeem the world through human agency. But everybody on the left actually believes that it's social institutions that are the problem, not people. It's capitalism that divides them, private property makes them racists and exploiters. Nonsense. People do that.
One of the key economic principles of the Bible is that one is expected to earn one's keep. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, where some were lazing around waiting for the second coming, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." But for those who are unable to work or who are experiencing a particularly difficult time, such as widows and orphans, the Bible certainly teaches charity. In fact, historically, it was the Christian faith that unlocked the forces of charity. It was Jesus Christ who taught the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he told his followers to go and do likewise.
If you go back and look at who is helping the poor right now in America, it is evangelical Christians who, out of the largesse and generosity of their heart, are giving both domestically and internationally to home and foreign missions.
The Bible teaches charity, and that's freely giving to those who have a need. But socialism is forcibly taking from one person and giving to another, and it's the government or the authorities that are doing it. And that's stealing. And the politicians that promote socialism do it as if they're the ones being kind. But really, they're spending other people's money in their kindness.
Forced redistribution by some kind of panel or governmental agency is not really what I believe the blessings of the Lord are about.
At the heart of the matter is the fact that every dollar the government gives to one person is a dollar it, having no money of its own, has taken from someone else by force of law. But the Ten Commandments gives us a clear declaration from God on this topic. You shall not steal.
Two of the Ten Commandments presuppose the legitimacy of private property. Do not steal. That implies that people have some property that legitimately belongs to them and that it's wrong to coercively take it from them. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or his possessions. That implies that there are certain things within the individual domain that we justly have the right to.
One of the major problems of socialism is it's based on covetousness. When you hear a politician promoting a policy that's a socialist policy, the way he sells it is by saying, the wealthy have something that you ought to have. We should take from the wealthy to give to you. And he's tapping into the voters or the listeners' sense of greed or covetousness, that I want what someone else has, and rather than working for it, I want it taken from them and given to me.
The Bible does call for Christians to pay their taxes to the government, and some level of taxation for the common good is expected. Still, despite these moral problems with government confiscation and redistribution of wealth, many advocates of socialism have pointed to the Bible for justification. One such passage is Acts 2, where the early Christians shared their property. Some have said this was a primitive form of communism. It says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need."
This is nowhere held up in Scripture or Christian tradition as the universal model for Christians. The only place we ever hear about this happening, in fact, is in the church in Jerusalem. And later, when Paul is writing, he's talking about the poverty of the Jerusalem church and is collecting money to bring back to the church in Jerusalem. So we can assume that church had very specific problems.
This is not communism. This is not socialism. This is Christianity. This is caring for one another. And it's not the government controlling it. It is the Spirit of God within me, directing me to be led of God's Spirit to help the body of Christ, and not only to help the body of Christ, but to help others.
A few chapters later, in Acts 5, there's an incident where a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, sell their house and give most of the proceeds to the church. They come under the judgment of God, however, after holding back a portion for themselves. Some socialists have claimed that this judgment is a repudiation of private property, but a close reading of the text shows the opposite is the case. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? You have not lied to men, but to God."
They were lying, though, to the Spirit of God, saying that they had sold it for this amount when they really hadn't. You can do with it what you please. It's yours. Just don't lie to God.
What's more, classic socialism and its offspring communism are based on a view of the universe that excludes God.
These are two completely different worldviews. This is why, simply on logical grounds, it's impossible to be both an Orthodox Christian and an Orthodox Marxist. You're either going to be very confused or you're going to be one or the other.
Socialism is an idea that keeps people in poverty, and it's very destructive to societies and to families. And it's not a biblical concept.
Though the Bible clearly does not teach socialism, millions believe that it does. That's the view many well-meaning, eager young Christians pick up at college, or perhaps from an idealistic but misled youth group. Today, Jay Richards is an accomplished economist, philosopher, and author with a biblical worldview. But at one time, as a young Christian, Jay was drawn into the false worldview of socialism, believing it to be biblical.
One young man who dallied with socialism when he was in college is Jay Richards, author of Money, Greed, and God: How Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem.
I grew up in a medium-sized city in Texas, more or less as a kind of conventional mainline Christian, but got off to college, a very liberal arts college in South Texas, and immediately fell in with socialist and Marxist thinking. In fact, my very first course in political science, I had to read Communist Manifesto by Marx and Engels, and a book called Democracy for the Few by an American socialist named Michael Parente. I read Parente's book about five times that semester, and read the Communist Manifesto I don't know how many times. So by the end of the semester, I was more or less thinking in Marxist categories, and frankly, for a couple of years, thought as a socialist. But I was also, at least at the time, more or less a Christian, and thought a lot of this stuff actually resonates with the Christian worldview. Jesus, on the other hand, talked about the poor, he talked about justice and all these things, and that's exactly what the socialists were talking about. So it's very easy for, you know, in a freshman mind who's not thinking clearly about economics, to suddenly find that the socialist vision, even the Marxist vision, sort of shorn of its atheism, somehow compatible with or even implied by the Christian worldview. What really happened in my case is I kept reading economics. So that by my senior year in college, I realized, you know, communism and collectivism, they don't work economically, but there's something morally wrong with it. It's still more or less based on greed. It wasn't until I was actually in theological seminary and started reading some books by a guy named George Gilder and another one named Michael Novak that I realized that, in fact, that caricature of capitalism is just that. It's a caricature. Capitalism is not based on greed. Rather, it channels greed, which is exactly what you would want of an economic system in a fallen world. The fruits of socialism couldn't be worse. In fact, there's no political ideology that's ever killed more people than the socialist experiment. And so, from a Christian perspective, just from a generically moral perspective, the idea that socialism ought to have some kind of promise for redeeming human beings or for helping us, it's absurd. Just look at the record.
As you've just seen, Jay Richards was drawn into an essentially Marxist ideology through ignorance and a twisting of his Christian convictions. In reality, Marxism, the parent of both socialism and its harder-edged sibling communism, are incompatible with biblical teaching. And when Marxist economics proceed completely unfettered, the results are not only unfortunate, they're downright tragic. Meet Kai Chen, an immigrant from communist China who has experienced the tragedies of Marxism and the liberation of a more biblical free market system firsthand.
A major goal of Marxism is the abolition of private property, which Marx and Engels believed would usher in a workers' paradise by eliminating selfishness and greed.
And that if you can just eliminate private property, that will eliminate all the things that keep people apart from each other, and suddenly we will all love each other and get along in perfect harmony.
But history records that Marxism simply unleashed one terror after another. Kai Chen is a Chinese immigrant to America.
Well, I was born in Beijing, 1953. That's right after the communist government took over in 1949. And my parents worked for the Chinese customs before the communist takeover.
After establishing itself, the government began exiling workers with certain backgrounds into the countryside. Kai Chen's family was among them.
But after they established themselves, they started persecution. After they think, now we can run the government now. Now we can run this agency. The persecution started.
In the late 1950s, Chairman Mao launched his so-called Great Leap Forward. It resulted in a massive famine that killed millions.
It's like communism, socialism, collectivism, these things, they want to command the nature. You see that? That very mistake caused the famine. They say, I'm smarter than God, you see. I can command this land to produce that much, okay? When the land does not produce that much, they create the figures to cheat. Or they collect from your home to try to fill their figures. And then result is in the countryside, there's a starvation. A huge starvation for 3 years. And people die like drop like flies, and cannibalism return in the countryside. And people eat their children, but they can't, some people don't, you know, they don't have the heart to eat their own children. They exchange it with their neighbors and eat their children. People die, they still can be used. You can bury them in the land as a fertilizer. Mao said that.
Though the famine killed tens of millions, Kai Chen and his family survived. While working in the countryside, he practiced playing basketball and ultimately was recruited onto the Chinese national team.
In China, I was a big star, traveled everywhere in the world, and representing China, got all the benefits and all that stuff. I was not happy. I was dying inside. My basketball was hijacked by a government of evil. At that time, I met a exchange student, my wife, Susan. After about a couple years, we got married in 1981. I came here, I was happy. For the first time, I feel happy. Happiness, and penniless, I came here. I work, in a fast food, and meanwhile attend adult school to learn English.
Kai Chen went on to earn a political science degree from UCLA. And is now a successful businessman who extols the benefits of America and its free enterprise system.
It's founded for the free souls like me. Like we come here and we want to establish ourselves. We create values. We are not zombies. We do not suck values from others. We create values. America. You don't even know what this country means anymore. You have lost it. And you have lost it because you don't read, the Constitution or Declaration of Independence anymore. I was born Chinese, but I chose to be American. I chose to be American because I chose to be free. That's all.
As you've seen on today's program, socialism is an ideology born of atheism. Fostered by a false worldview that sees man as perfectible and a utopian society as achievable. But the inevitable result is tyranny. Yet the lure of socialism proves appealing to a new generation, largely ignorant of its sordid history. That's why it has never been more important for Americans to understand the threat of socialism. And we have two new resources to help you with that. The first is our new book, just off the presses, called The Coming Socialist Wave, Biblical Answers to Socialist Lies. As you've seen on today's program, socialism is not biblical and it does not work. Yet millions of Americans under the age of 30 say they prefer socialism to capitalism. It is essential that you know the truth and that you pass it on to your children and grandchildren who have been inundated with socialist propaganda. We'll send you the new book, The Coming Socialist Wave, Biblical Answers to Socialist Lies, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. This important and practical book uncovers the lies of socialism and counters them with biblical truth. It features chapters showing that socialism impoverishes nations, is at war with the family, and is at war with the church, and more. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will also include a new DVD we've just produced called What's Wrong with Socialism? This exclusive program contains interviews with experts like Dr. Albert Moeller of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Brigitte Gabriel of Act for America, and more. It also contains documentary features on the growing threat and popularity of socialism and how to stop it, as well as a key message from Dr. D. James Kennedy, Does the Bible Teach Socialism? We will send you the hard-hitting book, The Coming Socialist Wave, Biblical Answers to Socialist Lies, as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry to help us continue producing and airing urgent programs like this one. And we'll send you the book plus the DVD program, What's Wrong with Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. Contact us to get these resources and make sure to share them with your children and grandchildren and anyone who's been influenced by the ubiquitous lies of socialism. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. In this program, you've witnessed firsthand the danger of socialism and seen how quickly it is demolished by a biblical understanding. Any system that tries to dethrone God and undermine the biblical truth about mankind is destined to fail. May our nation learn these lessons now, before we go any further down the path leading to the end of faith and freedom. Thanks for watching. May God bless you, and may God bless America.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.